my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, so we are going to continue in a lesson that we started on this past Sunday. You can go with me to Luke 1 and 37. I think that'll just be a good place to start, kind of where we stopped on Sunday. Lesson that we entitled, It's Possible. Everybody say, It's Possible. And so, and I asked you to begin to think about what's your it. What's your it? When we say that it's possible, the thing that you have been believing for, the thing that you have been dreaming for, you know, the thing that you've been praying over, the thing that you sowed the seed, you know, the thing that you've been confessing, you know, what is your it? I want you to know that it is possible, that where you are right now and what you have right now, it is not final. It is subject to your faith. And that is why it is so vitally important to understand the word of faith, and so vitally important to understand that faith is the most important subject that a believer needs to learn after getting saved. That once I'm saved, we know that's the most important subject. I mean, I think we all understand that. But once I'm saved, how many know I'm saved? You got it. And so so after that, I need to learn faith. I need to learn the principles of faith, because the Bible is clear, the just that we live by faith. The Bible says in 1 John 5 and 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So it is our faith that causes us to overcome. So no matter what it is, no matter how hard it's been, no matter how challenging it's been, no matter how many roadblocks have come your way, you've got to know that whatever your it is, that it's possible. You got it. You can't back up. You can't waver. You can't change your mind. You can't change your confession, because all that does is put you in a cycle. You got it? And then, because, you know, whether you know it or not, because you've got God on the inside of you and because you've already got some word on the inside of you, even when you give up, you end up picking it back up and coming back around again. You got it? And so my thing is, you might as well stay in faith. You got it? Instead of getting out of faith for a little while and say, you know, I'm going to pick it back. No, let's just get in faith. Let's stay in faith, and let's see God do amazing things in our lives. Luke 1 and 37 in the Amplified, I love this scripture. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. And so the writer teaches us that with God, and so we have to understand, when we were in Philippians, in 2 Corinthians on Sunday, remember the writer kept saying, in Christ. We understood that, you know, that I can do all things through Christ. And so now we go over to Luke, first chapter 37, verse, for with God, and that is the key, that I can't do it apart from God. I can't do it apart from Christ in my life. I can't do it apart from him. When I do it his way, I'll get his results. And so with God, nothing is ever impossible. So the scripture is clear. Whatever you're believing, as long as you can find the promise in the word of God, it's possible. I don't care if nobody you've ever met has accomplished it. If the promise is in the word of God, then that means that it's possible for you. Does that make sense? So nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment, because his word does not return to him void. So he says no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. So not only does he give us his word, but he backs it up with his power to perform it. All right? From this day forward. From what day forward? From this day forward, this is what I want you to do. I want you to make it up in your mind that you're going to live supernaturally. That's what I want you to do. From this day forward, I want you to make it up in your mind that you're going to live supernaturally. You got it? When I'm on the road, traveling, I travel quite a bit. And that is one of the things that I share with the different churches that I go to. I say, I live a supernatural life. I just do. I live a supernatural life. But you got to understand that God is no respecter of person. So it's not something he just does for me. Everybody should live a supernatural life. Does that make sense? And so you've got to make it up in your mind from this day forward that I live a supernatural life. When you begin to make it up in your mind that you live a supernatural life, the game, the rules of the game change. And let me tell you why. Because now it's no longer you trying to make it happen. It's God that makes it happen. It's no longer your ability. It's his ability. You understand? It's no longer your word. It's his word. You got it? And to the degree that if I do speak a word, it's still not my word. It's his word flowing through me. Does that make sense? And so you have to make it up in your mind that you are going to live a supernatural life, that with God, nothing is ever impossible, that I'm always going to have all the money I need. I'm always going to have good health. I'm always going to have all the wisdom I need. I'm always going to have good relationships. I was just, you know, I'm such a grateful person. If you ever really got to know me, you would know that, I'm a person of faith. I'm not a selfish person at all, and I'm an extremely grateful person. You got it? I don't believe in going to the top and being at the top by myself. If I figure out how to get to the top, I want to tell everybody else how to get there as well. Does that make sense? You got it? And so, but I'm an extremely grateful person because I look at God and how he has prospered my life in so many areas. Now, a lot of times we think of prosperity as just money, and that's where we mess up. And so he's prospered my life in so many areas, no matter what I was doing. So when I was, when I was in the military, I mean, man, I did so extremely well. And then when I went over into business, I did so extremely well. And then when God says, I want you to step away and from business and come to ministry, I was like, God, are you sure? Because I make a whole bunch of money and, you could use my money. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. And when I stepped over into the, I did so extremely well. And I began to learn that, it's not about so much a specific job or a specific environment or those kind of things, that whatever I attach my faith to, as long as I have a conviction, you got it, of the word of God, and I attach my faith to it and I refuse to quit, then it's got to happen. Does that make sense? It may take a little longer than you want to, but as long as you attach your faith to it, it has to come to pass. You got it? We all have been in challenges much longer than we wanted to. You got it? But the key is learning how to stay in the fight. If you stay in the fight, you're going to win. And so I made it up in mind that I'm going to live a supernatural life. And today, I was just thanking God, I just thank you. I live a supernatural life. I begin to look at my marriage. It's seriously incredible. You got it? I look at my children and the things that my wife and I prayed for them when they're small. We see them all coming to pass in their life. You got it. The things that I pray every day for my family, I see those things coming to pass. And all I can tell you is, it's not that I'm special. It's not that I'm perfect. It's not that I'm smart. It's that I have chosen to attach my faith to the things that I believe in for, and I have made it up in my mind that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, I'm going to live a supernatural life. I'm going to see God come to pass in my life, and that's what I want you to do. I want you to make it up in your mind from this day forward that I want you to start declaring, Father, I thank you, I live a supernatural life. You got it. I live a supernatural. When you start thinking about money and bills, and I get it. You got it? Because, I understand. But you have to start confessing. Don't allow logic, you got it, and human reasoning to override your faith. You got it. You got to make it up in your mind. I live a supernatural life. All my needs are met according to heaven's best. You got it. That God is going to take care of me. He's going to take care of my college loans. He's going to take care of everything. You understand what I'm saying? You got to get it made up in your mind. I live a supernatural life. That the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack, I shall not want. And when you begin to make it up in your mind, and the reason I said you have to make it up in your mind, because the moment you do it, a conviction arises on the inside. I'm not even at my lesson yet, but we'll get there in a minute. I'm just talking to you right now. Because when you begin to do that, you have this conviction. See, for me, I have such a strong conviction that I can't talk doubt. Like, I really can't. Like, it will not, the words will not formulate to come out of my mouth. I can't do it. There's no way I'm going to say, this is not going to work, or I don't know. I just can't do it. I have such a strong conviction about it. You got it? And the stronger your conviction gets, you got it, in my opinion, the better your faith works. Why? Because you're not easily moved by something that happened or something that didn't happen or something that someone said or something that someone didn't say, because you're not moved by, circumstantial things. You got it? You're only, you watch this, you're only moved by the Word of God. And so you have to make it up in your mind from this day forward, you are going to live. And you need to start confessing, Father, I thank you that I live a supernatural life. And the more you commit to it and the more you can, and see, this is what the Holy Spirit said. He said, son, there are some people in your church right now that are living supernatural lives. They don't even realize it. He said, tell them to just begin to, because what happens is, and this is not a bad thing, got it? But what happens is when we begin to walk by faith at a high level and manifestation starts taking place, it begins to get normal. And that doesn't mean that we're not thankful, that's not what I'm saying. But he says, some of your members are living supernaturally and they don't even realize it. He said, tell them to just start thinking about their lives and where they used to be and where they are now and the money they make, but the way that they actually live and the things that they're taking. You're already living a supernatural life. Does that make sense? And so you got to make it up in your mind. Okay, y'all ready to get into the lesson? Okay, I hope you received that, all right? I was having a conversation with Pastor Pat the other day, and I told him that, you know, my faith focus is so high that, and y'all understand this, I don't even think about distractions. Oh, and they come. More so for me than they do for you. You got it? Because you know how the enemy is. If he can get the head, you know, he can get the body. So, you know, if you get one, trust me, I have 10 that have come my way. You got it? But my faith is so focused and I'm so fervent and I know what God wants to do in this ministry and I know what God wants to do in your life. You got it? And I know that he wants us to make a difference, that my faith is so focused that, that's all I see. You got it? And that's why you have to learn how to only hang around focused people. You know, when you hang around focused folk, you only hear focused folk talking. But if you start hanging around people of doubt, you hear a little bit of doubt. And then you come over here and you hear a little bit of focus. And then you need to learn how to hang around focused folk. And when you only hang around focused folk, you only hear focused folk talking. Does that make sense? All right. I'm going to get to my lesson in a minute. All right. How many know I'm already in my lesson? Living supernaturally means, I just wrote some other things down before I wanted to get into my lesson. Living supernaturally means I do my part and then God does his. All right? And I want to make sure that I explain supernatural, because supernatural is not the same as magical. So it's not like I said, whoosh. No. Watch this. Let's talk about stewardship. All right? I know I get so much money in. I have to be a good steward of my money. I need to budget. You understand what I'm saying? I know I have so much going in. I have so much going out. God automatically off the top gets the tithe. You got it? He gets my offering. You got it? I always do something for my man of God. You understand? There's just a regiment that I have that I'm going to pay all my bills. You understand what I'm saying? So what am I doing? I'm doing the natural part of what I know to do. And then he puts his super on my natural. Does that make sense? So watch this. So you still have to budget your money. You still have to handle it right. You can't just say, well, I live supernatural life. Forget my bills. I'm going shopping. No. Wisdom is the principal thing. So get wisdom, but in all you're getting, he said, get what? Get an understanding. So you have to understand that the natural and the spiritual work together. All right. Second thing I want you to know is living supernaturally means that I cannot allow logic to override my faith. Pastor Pat taught an incredible lesson on last Tuesday night, and he shared with you his testimony. You got it? Just about his house, and, you know, he got a brand new house for like $100. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, there's more to the lesson, but basically, you understand what I'm saying? But had he allowed logic to get into it and reasoning and started overthinking something, you got it? Because, see, listen, oh, yeah, this is good. This is good. God gives you more on your way than he does when you start. What he's waiting for you to do is put some feet to your faith and get started. And as you get started, he'll help you along the way. He tells Abram at the time, we know he's Abraham now, I want you to leave what is familiar and go to an unfamiliar, uncharted territory. You understand what I'm saying? And watch this. And he gives you, he tells with him, you know, some things that are going to happen. You got it. But he doesn't unfold the whole story. He basically says, I want you to leave your kinfolk. I want you to leave this familiar territory. Go to an unfamiliar territory. He says, and I will show you as you go. You got it? And so you can never allow logic to override your faith. Sometimes the Spirit of God will put in your heart to do something, and you don't want to do it because you can't figure it out. Well, I'm here to tell you, everything's not for you to figure out. There's certain things you know the Spirit of God has put in your heart. You have this witness. You got it? And so, you know, my whole thing is, if you're married, you need agreement with your spouse. Does that make sense? You know, so there again, natural, working along with the spiritual. And that's why I try to tell people, the supernatural is real, however, God's not spooky. Does that make sense? All right, I'll never forget, I've shared this story before. Man, I was at this place one time preaching, I was sitting on the front row, and I was real focused. I was really actually not into the praise and worship. Not that it wasn't good, it was that I was just real focused on, okay, I know I got to teach this lesson. I know I'm here on assignment. God wants me to, you know, share some things. I want to be an encouragement to the people. And so, you know, and those were in my younger days of being on the road. Now I can go on the road. I can really enjoy the worship. I know how to, you know, my mind just works that way. I praise God for it. You know, but in the early days when I walked in, man, I was like, okay, I got to teach this word, you know. And so, you know, Holy Spirit was really moving into place. And it was high, you know, and they was picking them up and putting them down. And it's like this guy grabbed me. He said, ooh, and he kind of frightened me. He's like, did you feel that? And I was like, no, I didn't. Because, and it's okay, he did. I just didn't, you know. But I try to tell people, God is not spooky, but he is supernatural. And he wants to do some supernatural things in your life. And I have to share that with people because if not, then you think that you have to have a feeling when the supernatural has nothing to do with the feeling, but it has everything to do with your faith. Yeah. Now, we don't deny feelings. You understand what I'm saying? So there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just saying that you have to understand that it is not my feelings. It is not my logic. It is my faith that's going to cause me to live supernaturally. Y'all getting something out of this? All right, another bullet I wrote, living supernaturally means that I have to trust God as my source. His hands are bigger than yours. And you got to trust him. You got it? I believe, I shared with you that a lot of people had wrote on the back of their favor seed commitment card, hey, pray for me because I want to be consistent in my tithing. Or I give tithe, but I don't give offering. And I thought a lot of, and there was so many people, and that's why I knew that it was the will of God for us to begin to teach on giving and going in that direction and those kind of things. And I thought, I said, that's the sign, you know, of mature people that are developing. Because you said, Pastor, how can they be mature? Because they're not giving. They realize they need to. And so they want help. You got it? And too many times we always knock people for what they're not doing. Understand that most people want to do the right thing. Does that make sense? And so now it is getting the connectivity of that, hey, God's hands are bigger than mine. He's not trying to get something from me, but he's trying to get something to me. That giving is not a game, but it's God's plan to prosper my life, that it puts me in covenant with God. So the tithe unties, you got it, you know, it unties the hands, you got it, and the offering shows, it caused the overflow to come in my life. And so my thing is, I have to have a conviction that I'm going to trust God as my source. So when I get paid, I immediately go on secure give, and I give my tithe, I give my offering before I do anything because I'm showing God that I trust him right here and right now. Does that make sense? All right. Second, because I'm on like fifth. Something else that I wrote down, all right? I'm going to get to my lesson real soon. Living supernaturally means I must keep a faith focus and refuse to waver under pressure. Give it to you one more time. Living supernaturally means that I must keep a faith focus and refuse to waver under pressure. So the only attitude I ever have is the attitude of faith. Because he always causes me to triumph and he always calls me to win. You got it? How many know that sometimes there are moments, you got it? Or let me say it like this way. How many know that sometimes there are frustrating moments? No doubt about it. You got it. So because we understand that there is a fleshly, carnal side to who we are. And sometimes your flesh wants to take the front row or the front seat. You understand what I'm saying? But what happens is because I've been feeding my spirit with the word of God and my spirit is strong, got it? My spirit recognizes when my flesh gets frustrated. And watch this. And so now my spirit begins to talk. And so, no, faith is not frustrated. You got it. Faith, watch this. My spirit does not try to condemn my flesh. You got it. But my spirit decides to take over because it understands that my flesh can't handle what I'm going through right now. But my spirit man can handle what I'm going through now because my spirit man is strong because it's been feeding on the word of God. So now the spirit man, no matter what the frustrating moment is, begins to speak up and say what the word of God says. You got, Pastor, does it happen to me? It happens to you every time. How do you know? All right. Have you ever been in a frustrating moment and just out of, I'm not going to say out of nowhere because we know it's the Holy Spirit, but just, you know, that's what people like to say, out of nowhere this scripture came, or I heard your voice, or, you know, it says fight's not over till you win. That's the Holy Spirit of God speaking through your spirit. Does that make sense? And so what happens is when that happens, you have to watch this. This is so good. So what happens is Holy Spirit does that, and what you don't realize, it distracts you from whatever the frustrating feeling was, you got it, over to what the Spirit of God is trying to say. Because distraction can be good sometimes. So what you have to do is now stay over with what the Spirit of God is saying and pick up on that and choose not to go back to what your flesh is trying to say. Because you know the flesh and the spirit, they war against each other. The Bible says they're enmity against God. There's this battle going on. The spirit man says you can make it. The flesh says, no, you can't. The spirit man says you're healed. The flesh says, yeah, but did you receive the report from the doctor? The spirit man says, you know, the spirit man says, all your needs are met according to heaven's best. The spirit man says, all your needs are according to heaven's best. And the flesh says, have you seen your bank account lately? That's how it goes. Y'all know that's true, right? So, my thing is you have to make a choice. You're going to stay on the side of the spirit and you're going to live supernaturally. Does that make sense? Watch this. Because winning for me is not based on how much I have in my account. Although we all love to have a whole bunch of money in our account, so we're not knocking that, and I understand we work toward that, but it's not based on that for me. So if something happened and tomorrow I had to write almost everything in my account, I don't have to worry. I don't have to get frustrated. You got it. Because my account was never my need supplier. God was always my need supplier. All right, let's get into the lesson. Hebrews 11 and 6. Are you ready? All right. Look at your neighbor and say, he's already in his lesson. All right. But without... Okay, y'all, we're almost there. Hebrews 11 and 6. But without...
faith.
All right, but without faith, what is faith? It's some of the things hoped for. It's evidence of things not seen. You got it. It is impossible to please him. So... that is why I have to operate in faith, because if I don't, I cannot please God. Because when I talk doubt and unbelief, I do not please God. I didn't say God was mad at me, but I don't please God. Does that make sense? So without faith, it is impossible to please God. The only way to please God is with faith. That's the only way to please God. All right? All right? For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is who he says he is, he can do what he says he can do, that he is God and there's nobody like him, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So I'm not walking by faith for naught. Because this word is going to produce some things in my life. All right? James 5 and 17. Oh, man. Okay. I want to tell you a little story. Can I tell you a little story? Yeah. All right. So we're going to pick it up in James and go to 1 Kings. Now, you're good with James. Let's read this. Let's read this. I love the book of James. I think I'm going to teach on the book of James. I was thinking about teaching on the book of James, and the book of James is really all about faith. You got it? And I was thinking about titling it, Just Do It. Just Do It. Yeah, Just Do It. Just Live by Faith. You got it? All right? So he says Elijah was a human being even as we are. Now, when you first read that, if you know who Elijah was, you would almost think James don't know what he's talking about. Like, no, Elijah was not human like we are. He was supernatural. You understand? He was the miracle man. If you know anything about Elijah, he had miracle after miracle after miracle. But James is true. He was human just like we were. You got it? He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for how long?
3.5 years.
Again, he prayed that it would rain, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produces crops. So let's talk about this. We're going to pick it up in 1 Kings in a minute. But let's talk about this story because that's all James tells you. But I want you to kind of get the whole story on this. And so for the next 10, oh, is that all I have, 10 minutes? All right. For the next 10 minutes, try to go through this lesson, amen? And as we go through this lesson, I want to, there's three things that I want you to understand about faith tonight. There's three things that I want you to understand about faith tonight. Matter of fact, let me go ahead and give you the first thing, and we're going to jump into this lesson. The first thing I want you to understand about faith is that faith begins with the word from God. Faith begins with the word from God. Romans 10 and 17, you know the scripture. So then faith cometh by, and hearing by. All right? Faith begins with the word from God. All right? 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. Do me a favor, Pat, in my right-hand drawer, give me my Bible. Bring my Bible to me, please. Open up the 1 Kings 17. It says, even though I have this iPad, which y'all don't realize, is when I study with my Bible, you know, those kind of things. This just makes it easier for me. And so the funny thing is, especially when I read scriptures in the Old Testament, I know exactly where they are, exactly where they are. Like, if you read the Bible long enough, you kind of know where things are. Does that make sense? At least in your Bible, you understand? Like, I know on my Bible, when I open up 1 Kings 17 and 1, I have the parallel Bible, so I have the King James on one side, the Amplified on the other. So where I really want to get to is the right-hand side, almost three-quarters of the way down, and that's my story. You got it? All right? So it says, now Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, As the Lord, the God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. All right? I think in the KJV, he says, according to my word. Now, please understand, when the prophet was talking, he was not speaking as himself. He was saying what the word of the Lord was. So when he's saying, according to my word, he's saying God is saying this, and it's according to the word of God. And so he Elijah gets this word from God. So faith begins with the word from God. Everybody say faith begins with the word from God. It can be a logos word. It can be a rhema word. You understand what I'm saying? It can be a word that your man of God or woman of God speaks to you prophetically. But faith begins with the word of God. There are so many promises in this Bible, and in any situation that you ever go through, you'll find your situation in the word of God. So all you have to do is go to the word, find your situation, find the promise, and stand on the promise. Does that make sense? All right? And so so faith begins with the word. And how many know that the promises of God always come to pass? You got it? The promises of God always come to pass. You got it? If you're walking by faith and you're willing to wait forever, it's not going to take that long. You have to stay in the fight. And so God's word is not going to return unto him void. Isaiah 55 and 11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And so the first thing I want you to understand is that faith begins with the word from God. It is vitally important that you understand that. Faith begins with the word from God. So I can only attach my faith to a word from God. Only a word from God. You got it? Not something that sounds good. Only a word from God. You got it? And so it's really important to understand that. All right? The second thing I want you to understand is that faith continues when you hold on to what he said. Faith continues when you hold on to what he says. So now faith begins with this one word. So Elijah begins to come and he said, hey man, this is what God says. And Elijah's got it made up in his mind, you know, I know that sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, that's what the word of the Lord is. It's not going to rain for so many years, all right? And so he holds on to this word. Now, even though I'm telling the story, I need you to take this in your everyday life. You got it? Let's use a not so good report from the doctor. You got it? Well, point number one, faith begins with the word from God, right? So now I have to find my situation in the word of God and find my promise in the word of God. You got it? But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes, right? Okay. So that's my word from God. So I'm now attaching my faith to that word, and I'm not going to change my mind about it. I don't care what the doctor says from this day forward. I'm not changing my mind. I will take the medicine. I will do the surgery. Because, see, if you don't do those things and try to put it on the word, let me help you. You're in fear. Okay, I'm not being mean to you. I'm your pastor. I love you, so don't get upset with me. But you're in fear. You understand what I'm saying? Unless you directly got a word from God, you got it, that told you, do not take that medicine. You got it? And I'm not saying he would never do that. I don't know anybody, you know, that he's done that too. But I'm not saying, you know, that God has never told that. But for the average believer, let's just be honest. You got it? If they say, take the medicine, how many know it's okay to take the medicine? Because God made doctors for you and for me. So now I'm attaching my faith to the word, you got it, that by his stripes I'm healed. So it's okay because I take the medicine in faith. I go to the doctor in faith. I'm now praying for the doctor that God has given the doctor the wisdom that the doctor needs to help me in my situation. Does that make sense? Yeah, so you have to, you got it. So it begins, so now I've got my word. And then number two, faith continues when you hold on to what he says. So when pain starts hitting my body, I got to hold on to what he says. When it's been 6 months, you got it, or 16 months, I still got to hold on to what he says. I can't change my mind because he said that if I hold on to his word, it's not going to return into him void. But the key is I got to hold on to it. And that's, watch this. When, watch this, the longer it gets, the more your flesh starts talking. That's why you got to keep feeding your spirit so your spirit can be louder than your flesh. Okay, all right. So faith continues when you hold on to what he said. So it starts with the word from God, but it continues when I don't waver and I keep holding on to it. Does that make sense? Okay, so let me give you a quick backdrop. All right, because it's 7:57. I'm not going to be done at 8 o'clock. So can I get 5 minutes? All right. Who'll give me 5 minutes? All right. 5, 10, 15, 20. All right. All right. But I'm going to move as expeditiously as I can, but I want to show you this, all right? I only have one more point after this, so it's not going to take long, but I want to give you the backdrop. 3 years into this drought. Now, King Ahab, you know, disobedient, bottom line. That's why all this stuff is happening. You understand what I'm saying? 3 years into the drought. God tells the man of God, okay, now you can go back and tell them it's going to rain, right? So he's on his way to go and talk to Ahab, and as he's on his way, he ends up running into Obadiah. Obadiah is the governor at this time. Obadiah was a righteous man. He was the one that hid the 100 prophets. I don't know if y'all remember when you know, Elijah said, I'm the only one you ever saw. No. So Obadiah was a God-fearing man, even though he was under Ahab. That's why I try to tell people, you know, you're on a job or you're in the military and people above you, you know, are not righteous. It doesn't mean because you're under them, it doesn't make you righteous. You understand what I'm saying? You're righteous because of Christ and not because of an environment that you're in. So Obadiah was righteous even in an unrighteous setting, in an unrighteous ruling, in an unrighteous environment. And so he runs into Obadiah and he says, go back and tell Ahab that I'm coming to see him. Obadiah said, man, you're going to get me killed. Now, if you don't believe it, read it. This is what he says. He's like, man, don't do that. He said, because he has already sent me to go do this, this, and this. If I go tell him that you're coming to see him and you don't show up because the Spirit of God takes you somewhere else, he said, it's over for me. That's exactly what he said. I want y'all to read 1 Kings 17 and 18 either tonight or tomorrow, all right? And so he talks Obadiah into it. Obadiah goes back and tells Ahab. He finally sees Ahab. When he sees Ahab, Ahab says, and I'm just kind of going through it quickly. Ahab says, aren't you the one that caused us all these problems? And Elijah said, oh, no. I wouldn't know it. You and your family and your household are the ones that got you in this situation, because you have to understand, sir, life is choice driven and you are where you are because of the choices you made in the past. Now, that part I added in, but he said something like that to him. He basically said that you and your father's house have forsaken the commandments of the Lord. Right? And so so they have this dialogue. Oh, I love this next part. So he says, send all of Israel to Mount Carmel. And you know, Baal has those 450 prophets. Send them too.
All right? And so I was like, yeah, it's about to go down. See, like, when I read the Bible, I love the Bible. You got it? And so everybody shows up to Mount Carmel. Israel is there. The 450 prophets of Baal are there. Everybody's there. And then all of a sudden, the man of God gets their attention, and he says, how long are you going to have two opinions? How long are you going to waver between is God real or is Baal real? He says, I say that we just settle the score right here and right now. You got it. He says, if the Lord, watch this now, if the Lord be God, then let's follow him. He says, but if Baal be God, let's follow him too. Let's just see what might happen. So he says, I'll tell you what you do. He says, y'all go and get your two bulls. Get your two good-looking bulls. You understand what I'm saying? And when you get the bulls, let the prophets of Baal, let them get first pick on the bull that they want. You got it? And then when they get their bull, let them, you know, dress the bull up. You got it? And get them all ready for sacrifice. Make them an altar and let them cry out to their little G-O-D and let's see what he might do. I got to calm down and get excited. And so the Bible declares that they got the bull and they put him on and they're screaming to yell and they're a Baal. Yeah, Baal, same thing. And they're prophesying and they're doing all these things. Nothing. They're piercing themselves. Nothing. And so the man of God says, everybody come a little bit closer. Oh, my God, I love this. That's what the Bible says. You got to read it. So he says, everybody come in just a little bit closer. And he starts putting everything together. He said, and then he puts the bull on the altar. And then he says, you know them big four barrels of water? They said, yeah. He said, I want you to dump them big four barrels of water. I want you to dump them on the bull. Now surely you would think, I need the best chance I can get. I don't need no water because I need some fire about right in here. So they dump four big barrels of water on the bull on the altar. He says, do it again. And they went and got water and they did it again. He said, do it a third time. And they went and they did it and they did it a third time. My God, my God. And so they did it. And I mean, they said water was everywhere. It was just like entrenched with water. And then he begins to call on the name of his Lord. And the Bible says that those that called on the name of the Lord shall be saved. My God. And you know what happened? The fire came and consumed, and then everybody said, your God, he is the God. That's the one we ought to serve. All right? But it's not over. Everybody say it's not over. You know, it's not over. All right? So let's pick it up in 1 Kings 18:43. So now he goes and he begins to start praying for rain. All right? He begins to start praying for rain. Everybody say process. All right, look at me. Everything about God is a process. Unless it's a miracle, things don't happen overnight. They happen over time. That is why point number two is so important. Faith continues when you hold on to what he said. You've got to hold on to what he said, right? So now, listen, this is Mr. Supernatural himself, Mr. Miracle Man. Now, he told him wasn't going to be no rain. Now God says, go tell him for rain, and he's praying for rain, and rain is not initially showing up. Have you ever prayed for something and it didn't initially show up? Well, let me tell you, just because it didn't initially show up doesn't mean that something is not happening in the spirit realm that's going to manifest in the natural in your life. All right, okay, calm down. So he goes up with his servant, and the Bible says that he begins to kneel. You got it? He gets in a position like this. He begins to get down like this, and he begins to kneel like this. And so he begins to pray, right? All right? Well, let me read this and then explain it. He says, verse 43, go and look toward the sea. And he told his servant, and he went up and looked, and he said, there's nothing there. He said, seven times Elijah said, go back. The seventh time, the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah says, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now, you see, if you read into this too fast, you don't understand the miracle that consistently is at work. And a lot of times, a lot of times we have to hold on to the Word of God, and because we're so caught up in looking at the end result or the final outcome or the grand finale or the big miracle that we don't realize little by little along the way, God is working miracles along the way in your life. So really what that looked like is he's like this and he's praying and he says, what you see? He says, man of God, it ain't nothing. He said, go back and look again. And then he comes back. He said, what you see? Same thing. It ain't nothing. He said, go back and look again. And he's praying. He comes back. What you see? I'm telling you, I don't see nothing. Go back and look again. He comes back. Anything? Nope. Go back and look again. Anything? Uh-uh. Go back and look again. And man of God, go back and look again. And he kept telling him to go back and look again and go back and look again and go back and look again. And sometimes in your life, you got to keep going back and looking again. All right. Okay. All right. So he comes back on the seventh time. He says, I got good news and I got bad news. My sanctified imagination. Bible didn't say he said that. All right. He says, the good news is I see a cloud. The bad news is it's only the size of my hand. But watch this. But Elijah did not allow what he saw to determine what he said, because he was like God. Not only is he like God, but you're like God. We're not God, but we're just like God. So you can't allow what you see to determine what you say. So you're believing for a house, you got it, and you see the price, it's too expensive. Or you believing to go to college somewhere, it's too much money. Don't say that, because God could be setting you up for something supernatural. Okay, all right. Okay, all right. So, notice Elijah does not respond to the fact that he says it's just a little small cloud. Elijah says it's working. So Elijah says, go and tell Ahab to hitch up his chariot and go down, because he said, I know you only see a cloud the size of a man's hand. He said, but I'm telling you, the flood is about to come. And sometimes in life, it seems like you only see just a little bit working, but you have to have a conviction in your life that the flood is about to come. Something supernatural is about to happen. God is about to do something supernatural in my life just to encourage my faith. I've been saying this month after month after month since Pastor told me to say it, but I've held on to that word. I have not let that word go, and that word is just as fervent in my heart right now as it was the first day. So I'm here to tell you, God is about to do something supernatural in your life just to encourage your faith and the faith of others. He was persistent in his faith. He kept going back. You've got to keep trusting God in spite of what it looks like. That's why the writer says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we're going to reap if we don't quit. Yeah. Are y'all putting this all together? Yeah. All right. So point number three. Everybody say point number three. This is the last one. I'm going to let you go in like 3 minutes. Faith goes from a small beginning to a grand finale. Watch this. But this is what I submit you to, that I want you to do. Enjoy the process along the way. Got it? So what do we say? Number one, faith begins with a word from God. We said faith continues when you hold on to what he says. Number three, faith goes from a small beginning to a grand finale, but we've got to understand that there is a process and you have to trust the process. Even when you don't see something working, you have to trust the process. Even when you feel frustrated, you have to trust the process. Even when people tell you you might as well give up, you have to trust the process. If Job would have listened to his friends, he'd have been in a bad place. You have to trust the process even when it doesn't look good. Okay, all right. 1 Kings 18:45. There it is. What's that first word? What is it? In the process. That's what that means. As I was going through the process. Meanwhile, there's a process. So the man of God, hear me now. The man of God kept being persistent and told him, go again. Go look again. Go look again. Go look again. And then he finally comes back and says, yeah, I mean, it's a cloud rising, but it's only the cloud of my hand.
That was all he needed for him to tell the servant to go tell the man, I'm sorry, not the man of God, go tell the king he better gird himself up and get on up out of here. Right? Meanwhile, so what was happening? What was happening? His faith was at work. Because he took, watch this, just that cloud and said, that's all I need to see. So you go tell the man of God, you go tell the king he need to get on up out of here. So now he was putting some feet to his faith, watch this, and he was going through the process so that way the supernatural could keep working. Meanwhile, the sky, what's that next word? Isn't it amazing that the Bible says that the sky grew? It didn't just happen like that. It grew almost like a seed. Seed don't happen just like that. Seed grows. There's some things in your life believing for that they might not just happen like that, but it's growing and it's working even when you don't see it. First the blade, then the ear. After that, the foot. Are y'all understanding anything I'm talking about? Okay, all right. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. Look at this process. A heavy rain started falling, and you would think that's it. I mean, he's already done. I could show you four different miracles already through this. Got it? But the miracles don't stop. And that is why I tell you guys, when you inbox me and when you text me and when you call the office and say this happened and that happened, one of the things that I always tell you is keep believing the best is yet to come. You understand what I'm saying? Because thank God that he did that, but it's never over. He wants you to move from faith to faith and from glory to glory. He wants to give you more and more and more. So what the reason I tell you that is to keep you in faith so you don't get to the point where, okay, thank God, bless God, it's over. No, it's not over. It's never over until you get to heaven because God wants to continually do things in your life. Does that make sense? All right, I know I got to get out of here. I know, it's 8:11. I already know. But let me show you this last miracle and we'll go home. I need y'all to read this. I need you to read it. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain started. And Ahab, he did what? He did what? He rode off to Jezreel. Watch this, verse 46. The power of God came on Elijah. And he tucked his cloak in his belt. You know, they had kind of, not really dresses, you know, but that's kind of how they wore those big robes. So, you know, if you're trying to run, you got it, he's going to have to pick up the middle and tuck it in his belt so he can have some leg room. You understand what I'm saying? So, let's go back. The Bible says, and Ahab did what?
Rode off.
Two words, right? He did what? He rode off on his chariot. Because that's what the man of God said. The power of God came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he did what?
Ran.
Two words. He did what?
Ran.
Ahab rode off on a chariot, fast chariot. But the power of God came on Elijah. He tucked his cloak and he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. So do you understand what I'm saying? So I'm trying to get you to understand that miracles never stop in your life. The supernatural, I got to calm down. The supernatural should never stop in your life. You should never stop believing because God will continue to do miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. So Ahab rode on a chariot. But the power of God came on the man of God, and he ran faster than the chariot got all the way to Jezreel. And what I did not tell you was that when he told that miracles were taking place the minute the word of God came, because God told him, now you go to the brook Cherith, and I'm going to supernaturally take care of you, because raven going to bring you some flesh, and there's going to be some water there. He comes back one day and the water is gone, y'all. Anybody besides me ever ran out of some money? You got it? You looked at the account and there was no more money. When there's no more money, I want you to know God already knows what he's going to do. He gets back to the brook, my God, and watch it, and see that there is no water. The Spirit of God immediately begins to speak to him. He says, no, I want you to get up
pack your stuff, go to Zarephath. Listen to what he said. I've already commanded a widow woman just to say, I knew the brook was going to dry up, and I already made a way out of no way. God already knew some things were going to happen in your life. He said, so I've already made a way out of no way. And most people don't understand that the miracle was not, I feel my teaching anointing, but I know I got to go. Most people don't understand that the miracle wasn't just for the prophet, it was for the widow woman too. Jesus. Can I just teach you real fast? So he says, watch this, because, oh my God, because, watch this, anytime God blesses you, he don't just have you in mind. Oh, we are blessed to be a blessing. So God ain't gonna blow me up so I can't help somebody else come along the way. So the brook dries up. He says, go to Zarephath. I've already commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. He gets there and he starts talking to the widow woman. He says, hey, woman of God, how you doing? She says, I'm doing all right. He says, can you get me a glass of water? She says, no problem. He says, can you get me, you know, a cake? She says, oh, hold on, man of God. That's not, no, we can't do that now. She says, forget a cake. I don't have but a morsel of bread. You got it? So it wasn't just Elijah that was in a bad situation. Woman of God was in a bad situation too. So now watch this. God sends Elijah so he can be taken care of, but it didn't stop there. He wanted to make sure that the widow woman was taken care of too. That is why he sent Elijah to, watch this, to preach faith into her heart and say, fear not. Because she said, hey, I ain't got but a morsel. I'm about to make this so me and my son can eat it and die, right? So she had already planned that this was about to be the end. God has been good, but it's the famine. He's done as good as he could. You understand what I'm saying? So watch this. So watch this. So watch this. So now he says, fear not, for thus saith the Lord. Okay, okay, okay. Go back to number one. Faith begins with a word from God. Number two, faith continues when you hold on to what he said. Number three, faith goes from a small beginning to a grand finale. It started with a morsel, and the man of God said, don't you fear, for thus saith the Lord of God, that barrel is not going to run dry. So she says, okay, according to the word of God, I'm going to go do it. And the Bible says she and her family did eat many days. Oh, Jesus. You got it? The power of God will cause us to be able to do the impossible. Faith works. If you don't believe me, just go ask someone who has seen God work in their lives, and they'll tell you faith works. They'll tell you two things. Two things. And I'm about to leave them. They'll tell you two things. First thing that they'll tell you, come on, Courtney, help me out. Because the only way I'm going to stop is if you play. No, I mean, I have a strong teaching anointing on me right now. Now, I'm saying just the revelation is just flowing. Because the Lord said, okay, son, but you told him about the widow woman, but don't forget what happened, the miracle that happened right after that with the Shunammite woman. I ain't got time. You got to just go and read it. But what I'm saying is God wants to do miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle in your life. And that is why some of you all don't even realize what you're living supernaturally, because you've almost gotten used to God. He's showing up, and that's good. And I'm not knocking that. But don't forget that you're living supernaturally. So anybody that has walked by faith and seen God do amazing things in their life, they'll tell you two things. They may tell you more, but I know that they'll tell you two things. They'll tell you, if you're going through, be patient. It's a process. But you're going to get through it. Because when you've gone through it, you understand process. And so you see how anxious people can get. And that's why you tell them, oh, don't be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your request being known unto God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That's the first thing they'll tell you. They'll tell you it's a process. And I guarantee you, they'll tell you the second thing. He did way more than I thought he was going to do. How many know every time you get into a fight and you start praying for God? Listen, let's be honest, because sometimes we're one-track minded, and I'm talking about me too. We're like, God, if you can just do this for me.
He says, but I'm able to do exceeding abundantly far above all that you can ask or think. There's a lot of times we were just wanting God to do this, and he did that. Who can understand his ways? They're far past finding out. So he's a God of great grace, and he wants to do some incredible things in your life. And so I know I went over 20 minutes, but I can't apologize. Because the spirit of faith is in the house right now. And I'm here to tell you, if you can just believe, it's possible. So don't you give up. Don't you throw in the towel. And I'm not making light of your situation because I know it gets tough. I get it. See, most people think that I don't ever have tough situations. I do. My situation is just different than yours. But I understand that my faith, it starts with a word from God. And once I get that word, man, I hold on to it. My man of God says, you got to buckle up and go for the ride. You ever been on an airplane in the turbulence, and then the loudspeaker comes on, the captain says, you got to buckle up? You got to buckle up and go for the ride. And sometimes I'd really rather not be doing this, but I just got to buckle up and go for the ride. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy, it comes in the morning. I'm out of time. Give the Lord a big hand, praise. Hallelujah.